The Money Show.
Shapeshifters.
Tonight, shapeshifter Rob Paddock, chief executive at Valentia Institute. Talk about timing. Valentia Institute does GCSE, UK curriculum, GCSE qualifications. They opened their doors, well, virtually speaking, because it's an online institute, educational institute, in January 2020 and got their first students. And then COVID-19 happened and education across the country was thrown into disarray. And for the privileged few, schools managed to make the switch to educating, they're taking the classroom online. Some kids managed to keep up with the curriculum that way. For the rest of the school year, so many kids are going to be so badly compromised for their entire education careers. But let's focus on this particular story. Rob Paddock, welcome back to The Money Show. Nice to have you with us. Valentia Institute, what's the genesis of Valentia?
Bruce, thanks so much for having me. I guess the genesis started probably 15 years ago when my brother Sam and I had started our previous business called Get Smarter, which is an online education company working with top universities to offer online short courses to working professionals. Very, very proud that we built that business out over the following decade. And that business has now educated almost 200,000 students from 154 countries around the world, working with universities such as Harvard, Stanford, and many more. And off the back of that experience, Bruce, we learned an incredible amount about what it takes to build and to deliver the highest quality online educational experience for students around the world. And after having done it in the professional development space, the challenge after we ended up selling Get Smarter was where else could the same sort of methodology be applied? And clearly, not just in South Africa, but globally, there's an opportunity, at least I had seen in 2019, an opportunity to think differently about what constitutes the high school experience. It was off the back of that we launched the Valentia Institutes in September of 2019. As you said, we welcomed our first cohort in January of 2020, and then COVID hit in March. So kind of crazy sequence of events.
But it's so interesting because, I mean, the Get Smarter business, of course, has its origins at UCT, and it was doing online UCT courses, and it's completely gone stratospheric. You were taken out by an American listed company called To You.
Exactly right.
To You. There we go. So you're out of that business completely now, are you?
I am. I stay close to the leadership team, and the team there continues to do an absolutely brilliant job. That business has truly grown from strength to strength. Still very close with the team there, and obviously just very proud of what they continue to achieve.
Because, I mean, as anybody who's had kids learning online after being kicked out of the classroom by COVID-19, it's blimmin' hard to do to transpose the classroom onto the internet and expect all kids, and if they're 20, 25 kids in a class and it's sir, miss, whatever the case is, and in the background, if they've got a device of some kind playing games in the background of this thing, either so not really giving their full attention to the curriculum, et cetera, present company accepted, of course. I mean, it's a bit of a nightmare, and a lot of people, I think, were driven to the depths of despair about the 2020 academic year. The difference between learning online and online learning is something that is fundamentally different. And I'm not too sure for those of us who haven't yet seen properly structured online learning, if we necessarily appreciate just how different it is.
Yeah, Bruce, I think that's an incredibly important point. And I guess just as a note of empathy, particularly for the teachers and administrators of schools around the country and indeed around the world that had to make this rapid transition from residential education to online education. It's a very tall order at the best of times, let alone to make the sort of transition in a matter of weeks. So certainly from our perspective, if you think about building a purpose-built online education institution, you fundamentally structure the learning in a different way to ensure maximum engagement with your learners. You structure your staff complements in very different ways. It's a fundamental rebuild of the educational experience and particularly the sorts of staff that you need to bring in and so on. I think the experience that many people have had of what I would refer to as remote learning under lockdown conditions should not be conflated with purpose-built online education.
So what does the Valencia Institute curriculum look like? I mean, you talk about being a GCSE qualification, a UK curriculum, recognized by South African universities as well as international universities as well. That's GCSEs. You don't take it to A level, but GCSE, you do. I beg your pardon. You do GCSE. I can't do this. GCSE level, and then also A level education, and you do it all remotely.
We do indeed, Bruce. So it's an entirely online, what we refer to as a high-touch and socially rich online school experience. So right from the outset, students are put into small tutorial groups. Their support structure is broken up amongst what we would refer to as expert mentors. Mentors come from a counseling psychology background. Their entire focus is working with students on their psychosocial and socio-emotional support. And what I guess what we would traditionally referred to as pastoral care. There's a completely separate team of expert teachers who are facilitating their learning in these small tutorial groups. So students are grouped by subject into these small tutorial groups. They are completing both a combination of what we would call asynchronous learning. So that would be high quality pre-created materials, which are very rich and interactive and are created by expert learning designers, graphic designers, animators, e-learning authors. I think one of the things that we need to be cognizant of is that if we want our learners' attention in this online environment, we need to make it rich and engaging. And that's, again, coming back to the kind of empathy I have for teachers trying to create content online. It's a totally different discipline. So certainly from the students' experience, they're engaging this rich and engaging multimedia content that is then where they then are working in addition to that in these live classrooms, so a Zoom-like environment but built specifically for education. And they're engaging in small intimate sessions with their teachers. In addition to that, there's an extensive technical support team. And then students are able to book one-on-one sessions with their teachers in office hours every single day. In addition to that, they've got things like online virtual clubs, extracurricular activities, chess clubs, make and bake clubs, coding, robotics clubs, and so much more. And then, Bruce, one interesting development that I thought I'd let you know about is that we are actually launching a series of what we call boutique campuses in January of 2021. So whilst the majority of our offering currently is this purely and entirely online experience, one of the interesting pieces of feedback that we've been increasingly getting from parents is, jeepers, we love this international accreditation, we love the high-touch, high-quality online learning experience, but don't you have somewhere that we can drop our kids off during the day? And this question kept on coming up, Bruce. It was so fascinating to hear. And one can perfectly understand this particularly from the parents' perspective. One of the roles that schools perform for parents is that of a safe and inspiring environment that they can drop their kids off every single day.
That there is that.
The opportunity for them to socialize.
Yeah, but that's the point. Socializing, the learning environment isn't just academic. It isn't just about cramming your head full of facts and learning how to learn and becoming a genius. And that's wonderful sitting, you know, in the confines of whatever home you happen to have. It is also the learnings that you get from interacting with your peers, the collaboration with your peers in person, which is fundamentally different, as we all know now, from the virtual environment.
And Bruce, fully concur. One point that I would make there is that in addition to in-person, I believe that the ability to collaborate and work effectively with individuals remotely is an increasingly important skill.
I accept that, absolutely.
It's certainly something that we pride ourselves on. It's not just students learning information so that they can get to an exam and pass it. There's a huge emphasis on collaborative project work and what would be called kind of case-based learning, where students are being put into these small groups in order to work through problem sets and so on and come up with solutions together. So that's at least as a component of what we offer. But certainly, again, coming back to these boutique campuses, this idea that in addition to all of that, why not have a safe and inspiring space that learners can come to during the day? And really, the idea behind these boutique campuses is that they are purposefully small. They are our smallest boutique campus is 60 students. Our largest is 180 students, hyper conveniently located for parents. So we can start to think very differently about what a school looks and feels like. We've got converted guest houses that have become boutique campuses. We've got office space. We've got, you might know in Cape Town, the Josephine's Mill in Newlands. So an old museum site that's been expanded into this boutique campus. And really, when you walk into these spaces, Bruce, they look very much like a co-working space. So students come in the morning, they'll do their daily check-in with their mentor, who is then physically present on the ground. They will then work through a series of this asynchronous learning on and live sessions online. All of that academic work is taking place via the internet on their computers. But then they can have lunches together. They've got key extracurricular activities. We've got production studios, yoga facilities, smoothie bars, coffee stations.
That's not a school.
Lovely lunch station.
This is a holiday club with learning attached.
I don't know if our students would agree with the holiday club thing. They are working very, very hard right now.
I don't know. If you're going to be educated, it may as well be nice. We talked to Rob Paddock this evening, Chief Executive at Valentia Institute. More with him in a moment.
The Money Show.
Shapeshifters.
Now, one of the most astonishing things that if you go to Get Smarter, you see that Get Smarter becomes the sort of hub at Woodstock in Cape Town for lots of education that comes in from all over the world. And from there, it is distributed to the 200,000 students in 154 countries that Rob Paddock referred to. Do you see the Valentia Institute becoming a global hub of GCSE qualifications? I mean, possibly in Africa, South Africa hub, an African hub at first, and possibly even following the sort of global model that you succeeded in achieving with Get Smarter.
Yeah, Bruce, absolutely. So we actually already have students from South Africa, Australia, Singapore, Hong Kong, Malta, Belgium, UK, US. We've purposely designed our business from the ground up to provide a global educational experience. So whilst right now we are offering the international version of the British curriculum, we have it in our sights to offer an American diploma, the South African CAPS curriculum, and many, many more different qualification standards from around the world.
I mean, but the capital for something like this, I mean, do you take the money you made at Get Smarter and pour some of it into Valentia? Have you got outside investors? How are you funding it?
So we do, myself and one of our investors in Get Smarter, we put some initial capital to get the business started. We had actually planned on growing the business a lot more organically. And then, of course, like we've mentioned, COVID hit in March and just the opportunity set for online schooling really, really ramped up. So we then got contacted by a group called Global Silicon Valley, a venture capital, edtech focused venture capital firm in California. And we've actually just concluded a $7 million round with them.
And that's going to help you then roll out these campuses or these hubs.
Indeed, this is very much to catapult our growth. And I think this is one of the decisions that most businesses need to make at some point. Do you want to take the more organic growth path, or do you really want to put the foot down? And for us, in response to the COVID crisis, the latter is certainly where we're spending our time.
COVID comes as an absolute boon for you then, because many of the kids who were forced into the online environment, who may have done so incredibly reluctantly, some of them may have adapted to it, some of them may have liked it, some of them may have seen the benefit of it. Parents concerned about South African education see an opportunity around the world, no matter where you're based, to get a UK qualification or another qualification. The world is suddenly that much smaller from an education perspective.
That's exactly right. And I think to your point, a lot of parents and students who may not have previously thought that online education was even an option have now woken up to the fact that, hey, this can actually work. And particularly if I'm able to attend a purpose-built online school, the affordances that it creates suit a lot of students incredibly well. So we're certainly benefiting from that positive uptick. I mean, I always feel somewhat bad saying that, because there's so many great businesses that have been run responsibly for years and years that have been obliterated by this crisis. But we happen to be one of the few lucky ones that have received a positive lift from it.
But I mean, it's a business that's time has come, because people have been trying various versions of online education for years, and it's had mixed results, particularly amongst younger kids who want the intimacy and the interaction. It's a very different thing to studying a university degree online part-time at night, or a top-up course, or because you want to advance yourself. Often kids are reluctant to go to school. They don't yet see the huge benefit and the huge luck that they have on their side. And that's why this is really a sale to parents, isn't it? And I look at the fees and at what, 5,500 rand a month, it certainly compares with the Curos and others in terms of the fee model that you charge.
Absolutely, yeah. Very, very specific, coming in at a comparable price point.
And the logic of that, of course, is to entice people out of the physical school environment and into this environment. How many kids are enrolled as we speak?
So that, unfortunately, Bruce, I have to keep quite tight. Just for the benefit of my investors, I need to keep that information under wraps. But I can tell you that there's been absolutely exponential growth in the enrollments at Valencia. And we've seen that. You know, what was interesting is that initially when lockdown hit in March, we actually didn't see much of a positive uplift until about July. And I think around July, both parents and students started realizing that, in fact, this pandemic is not going away. This is not going to be a kind of temporary blip on the radar. And if we want continuity of our students' studies, we better go make a plan. So really, I think one of the things that is driving increasing amounts of enrollments is parents getting sick and tired of the kind of stop-start nature of the physical school experience right now. It's that lack of continuity that just makes it so darn difficult to plan. And of course, that's a very big part of what makes a larger family unit work is just the ability to have some sort of line of sight of what the next 2 weeks look like, let alone the next month.
Or next 2 hours would be nice, but it's bedlam. You're not going to give us any specific numbers, but Satya Nadella said, you know, we saw 2 years of digital innovation in 2 months. We've seen companies like Takealot, for example, say that they're working on their 2025 business plan, not on 2020's business plan, because everything has been accelerated. When you compare what you thought you were going to achieve versus what you have achieved, so in January you opened your doors and it was all very nice, and you started with the first cohort of students. How far much further ahead are you now than you thought you would be?
Oh, jeepers, at least about 3 years of acceleration.
Now, that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, and one wonders whether or not that acceleration is exponential as the word of mouth develops, as kids start talking to each other and telling each other, they go, you know, to their mates that they're from their old school, you really need to try this. And that, you know, I suppose that's the real test as to whether or not kids buy into this as much as parents seem to be buying into this, because that is the next spurt of growth potentially.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Referrals and word of mouth is undoubtedly the best mechanism for growth for a business like ours. It's one of the reasons why we take quality just so incredibly seriously. This is a business that is based on trust, and if you let your students down, jeepers, you really not only compromise their futures, but you shoot yourself in the foot in a very significant way.
Thank you, Rob Paddock, for coming in and telling us this fabulous story of the Valencia Institute. Opened its doors in January, and unlike other schools, didn't close. In fact, had to open more doors, more digital doors into the world of education. It is a remarkable, remarkable story. Similar story, similar ideas to Get Smarter. Massively successful sale, of course, to a listed United States company. Rob Paddock doing it all over again with Valencia Institute.